blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 91, stanzas 3, 4, and 5. Afflictions on the good must fall, but God will bring them safe through all. From harmful stroke he will defend, and sure and full deliverance send. 3, 4, and 5 of Psalter 91.
The portion of God's word that we wish to read in this afternoon hour can be found in the book called Genesis, and are of chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19, but before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Genesis chapter 19. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold, now my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet. And ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came in to see thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters, which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as it is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back. And they said again, This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs to be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. And they smote the men that they were at the door, that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides, son-in-law, and thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord had sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters. And the Lord being merciful unto them, and they brought him forth, and set him without the city. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord, to whom belongeth each and every one of thy own children, who cannot be touched, for they are the apple of thine eye, and thou wilt care for each and every one of them through this life, and bring them into that life eternal, despite all that lives within them. And also, as we have read, sight that belongeth unto thee, so that a man may have eyes and see not, but also the sight of our soul belongeth unto thee, so that we may have a rational understanding, but have no conception of thy truth. Thou who dost reveal that truth unto the babes, and who dost hide it from the wise and the prudent of this world. O Lord, all things are in thy hands, and thou knowest the heart of each and every one of us also, and what lieth therein as we travel upon our short journey to meet thee and to stand before thy judgment seat, also in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation. O thou knowest the world in which that we are living, and the power that thou dost give unto the prince of darkness, and that he is loosed upon his chain, and that he goeth about as a roaring lion and as an angel of light, and that he seeks whom he may devour. O that thou mayest remember us and our dear children in this very difficult time, and that thou mayest seek us out who will never seek after thee, and that thou wouldest draw our hearts which are so inclined after the things of this world, that we would ourselves perish, except that thou wouldst grant us true conversion. O Lord, it is all in thy hands, and it is not yet that time that thou dost come upon the clouds, but it evidently draws closer and closer to us and our children. O that we also may be given to hasten for the sake of our lives, that we would receive from thee that urgency, that we might know from all that we might see and all that we might read out of thy most holy word, that we have to die and to appear before thy judgment seat. O give us lively impressions thereof, while it is still called today with our children, that thou may give such impressions also unto thy own children, for thou knowest how that it can be, and from their side is And because we have no ability in and of ourselves to make that fire to burn, which thou hast lit in the heart of thy children, oh, then there can be so many ashes, and there can be smoke, but the fire that is lacking in all of its fervency and heat, then nothing is felt by all that are about thy church, and thy children do sleep. Even as the bridegroom draws closer and closer, that thou thyself wouldst come by thy Spirit, O Lord, and awaken them, and that young and old together may receive those lively impressions which would make our hearts go out from this world unto the true and the living God, and that it would make our treasures to be set in heaven, that we might forsake the world and every former friend, that we might come to know our wretchedness and our misery, and that thou mayest show unto us thy salvation, for thy Son is so hidden in the midst of thy church, that thou mayest remember those that do seek thee, for they may not be known unto us, but they are not hid from thee. In their secret places, in all their impossibilities, and in all their felt wretchedness, and in all of their need, oh, that thou mayest reveal thyself, Lord, and that thou mayest come even as that heart that leapeth, and that that thou mayest appear unto them as one that does show favor, when they can see so often nothing but wrath and condemnation and displeasure, and when there is so much discouragement to be felt because of ourselves, and so many disappointments, and because expectations to walk according to thy law and commandments, they are not fulfilled. And Lord, thou knowest the need that they may learn and experience that from this tree there shall come no fruit forever. Oh, that thou mayest then give that fruit that cometh from thee alone, as thou dost say unto thy church, from me is thy fruit found. Oh, that thou mayest look upon our children and our youth, for thou knowest also their expectations when they are young, but they also must come to an end. Or that thou mayest give them to see that from this world which is nothing shall come nothing, and that they may seek that treasure that may give them that true comfort and happiness, both in life and in death, in the days of their youth. Wilt thou watch over and keep them from all sin and from error, that thou mayest give thy truth to be experienced in the heart, even in the days of their youth. Do remember all those that bring thy word. Help, Lord, strengthen them, the students, those that labor upon the mission field, and all thy servants over the length and breadth of this whole world. Wilt thou increase their number in the midst of this time, and that thou mayest give thy kingdom to come, and thy will to be done, and that there may yet be a church that must be drawn in. Could it please thee yet to withhold as Satan's devices upon us and upon our children? For he is mighty and we are weak. O Lord, that thou mayest watch over us in thy mercy. Look upon all those that mourn, all that are afflicted, those that are very sick. Thou knowest also their places. And the world in which we live, wherein disease goes yet over this world, that thou mayest thyself remember us in the first place to bring us back, O Lord. For man, though we feel thy judgments, yet we do not repent, and it would be no wonder if thou wouldest deal with us according to our sin and destroy us utterly as nations of this world that have received so many blessings from thee. Then it would be right if thou wouldst cut us off as nations, and if thou wouldest destroy us as such and bring us low. Oh, deal not with us as we deserve, but could it please thee to have mercy and to bring us back again to thy word and to thy testimonies. Remember to that end all that rule and that reign over us. Oh, Lord, it would be a miracle from our side, for we see no way anymore. And the powers are so very great, but thou art above it all. Do instruct and teach us to hasten for the sake of our lives. Grant thy word a place in our hearts in this afternoon hour. Give us strength in our body to bring thy word. Give us that necessary clarity, and also may it be a measure of thy Holy Spirit, that it may go from pew to pew and from heart to heart, and that thy word may be sanctified, and that thy name may be glorified, and that our souls may be saved in the day of wrath. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 139, stanzas 3, 4, 5, and 6. Our God shall surely come, nor silence shall he keep. Devouring fire shall herald him. About him storms shall sweep. 3, 4, 5, and 6 of Psalter 139. Thank you. congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in the portion that was read to you, Genesis 19, and thereof the 16th verse, Genesis 19, verse 16. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. So far the words of our text. Lot, the Lord delivers Lot out of Sodom. We want to consider two thoughts. First, Lot, a lingering Lot, and second, a merciful Lord. The Lord delivers Lot out of Sodom. First, a lingering Lot, and second, a merciful Lord. And while he lingered, what does it mean, congregation, to linger? It means to wait. That means to delay, to tarry. How much of a man's life is lingering, waiting, delaying, tarrying? Man acts as if there is no reason to hurry. Man acts as if time is unlimited, as if opportunity is unlimited. Do we also linger? And while he lingered, who was that? It is Lot. It is the nephew of Abraham. And why does he linger? Yeah, that is a good question. Why does he linger? Perhaps it is easier to feel something about why he lingers than it is to actually explain why that he is lingering. Lot, congregation, has to leave everything. He has to leave all of his possessions. He has to leave all of his lands, his cattle, his house, his home, all of the goods that he has labored for with much desire and longing in his heart for so many years. And that is now all of a sudden. How suddenly things can change in the life of a man, without any warning, or is it actually true that it is not without warning? Is it actually perhaps that we have not taken warning? Not taken warning from all of the very obvious signs that are around us each and every day. Also Lot in this city in which he dwelt. It is morning. The sun, we read, that is arising. How much has taken place in the life of Lot in just this past night. From the evening before, when these two men, these two angels, have entered into the gates of Sodom. No, Lot did not know that. And when he saw those two men, he did not realize that they were heavenly messengers. that they were messengers of the Lord, ambassadors of the Lord. He has seen that they were respectful men. Can that be seen on you also, young men? In the midst of this world, Locke could see, these are not just the men of this world. Can that also be seen in the midst of us? Lot knew who the men of Sodom were, and Lot had a desire that he may be the host, knowing the wickedness of this people, that he may protect these men in the night that was to come. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter, and called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. Sodomy, the sin after which was named after this city, that is the city of Sodom, that is the most unnatural and the most wicked of sins. The Apostle Paul speaks about these sins also when he speaks unto the Romans. And then you can be sure that also amidst that people, that there were those who have practiced such sins. Paul said that even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. The Lord calls it abomination. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. And it is, congregation, a very special judgment. Because the Apostle Paul says, wherefore? Wherefore, he says, God gave them up unto uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Wherefore? Thus, there is something that went before this, and that is the therefore. Wherefore did the Lord leave that people to go on in this sin? It was because, he says, of idolatry, that they have changed the truth of God, he says, into a lie, that they have worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. That is the Apostle Paul. What does he say? He says this sin is not the beginning of sins. No, this is the end of sin. This, he says, is the epitome of sin. It is the epitome of filth. Do you know what that sin is? that sin is the Lord letting a people go, letting them go so far that they may defile their own bodies between themselves. It is the Lord saying, you will not listen, you will not obey, and now I let you go. Now I let you go to work out, even to its very end, that filth that is living in the heart of a man, thus that is spoken of as the most horrid, one of the most wicked lifestyles that a man can live in this world. And now we read of a whole city that is given over to this sin. It says here, young and old, all the people, it says, from every quarter. How contagious is sin? Knowest thou not, the Lord says, that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Even the children, the very young ones, are corrupted. And then we read that there is no shame. No, as soon as these men are come into that city, all then the men of that city, they hide nothing. No, they gather together, and as one man they approach that house of Lot, and with one voice they cry that they may act according to their desires. Do you know what Isaiah says? He says that they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Thus, he used Sodom as an example. When persons do not even hide their sin anymore, then he says they declare it, they walk in it, they show it forth, even as the men of Sodom did. There is no shame anymore. Is that not also so today? When these things, these sins and other sins are living within our hearts, oh young people, we live in such an awful time. And when these sins are said to be no sin, when man is said to come out of the closet, come out of your hiding places, you must just be yourself. You must let everything that is living in your heart come out into the open. No, that is not what we do with sin. Are we not ashamed anymore of our sins? Oh, what did the Lord say to his own children? He said, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, he said, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Oh, is there any redness upon our cheeks because of sin? That is the world in which we are living in. No more redness, no more shame, no more hiding, but everything fully and completely out in the open. I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Who is that? That is Lot. Oh, it is a voice, congregation. It is a voice. It is a lone voice that is heard in the midst of this city. Lot goes out. He shuts the door behind him. He wants to protect his guests, and he wants to reason with these men of Sodom. He wants to speak to them. He wants to convince them that this sin is a wicked sin and that they ought not to walk in such a way. Peter says that he was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Oh, are we also so vexed? He said that Lot was a righteous man, and that Lot dwelling among them, and that man vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their evil deeds. Oh, do we exist also in the Sodom of this world as a Lot, because this was a grief to him? And not only was it a grief to him, but he warns them. He pleads with them. I pray you, brethren, what a wonder, and that righteous man would call these men of Belial brethren. But he seeks to convince them, brethren, do not so wickedly. Oh, he calls that sin by what? He calls that sin by its name, by the name of what it is. He says that sin is wickedness, and he was dwelling in a city of Sodomites. He was dwelling in a city wherein that sin was from old and young received and practiced. What a faithfulness that man was given in the midst of a wicked and a perverse generation. Oh, congregation, will we also receive as such a faithfulness in the time that we are living? I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. We would say, how is it possible that Lot would offer such a thing? Such a thing unto such wicked men, to give to him his own virgin daughters. Oh, what a horrid, what a horrible thought. Indeed, congregation, we see the effect. We see the effect of living in the midst of sin, of iniquity, and what is happening even to the heart of God's children. Then there is a certain hardening. Oh, then there is a certain callousness that is coming on everyone when sin may be heard and when sin may be seen each and every day again. Oh, what kind of books, young people, what kind of things do you look at, do you view? Because the more that we are with sin, the more callous that our own heart becomes. That is not only for young people, no. That is for old and young together. And that is the very nature of a man, his fallen nature, that is even living in the heart of God's own children. Oh, Lot, he offers his own daughter. He wants to offer them a sin, actually, that is a lesser sin. Oh, of course, we We do not feel His fear in these moments. When He is surrounded by this mob, we do not feel the confusion of His circumstances, and yet Lot has no excuse. Why? Because He is a father, and a father is the protector of his unmarried daughters. Or are we also fathers looking out to protect our unmarried daughters? And they said, "Stand back. This fellow came in to sojourn and will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them?" And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. Reasoning that is not possible anymore. There is no place for it anymore. Lot, he cannot speak to them anymore. They have no ears to hear it. We read in God's word, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? That is now the same today. The foundations are destroyed. What are those foundations? You say the word of God is destroyed. That is right. That is that number one foundation. The word of God, it is not accepted by man anymore. And then you can bring that word of God, but it is only to be brought to laughter and mocking. And now there is another foundation. And what is that? That is reason. That is also from the Lord. What God has given unto man, to learn not only from that word, but also from His creation, and to reason from that creation. The Lord says that man has no excuse. And so you begin with this people. You begin to try to reason. But congregation, now also that second foundation, not only the word of God, but also reason that God has given unto man, that is all being reviled. Then it doesn't matter what you say anymore. No, sin must have its way. Sin must reign. But the lust of sin is not reasonable. And now, and finally, the Lord is going to forsake a people. And when He is going to allow them to reach the height of sin, then all His reason also disappears. He must needs be a judge. He wants to tell us how we have to live. He wants to tell us what is right and what is wrong. Congregation, what can Lot do anymore? What can Lot say anymore? Oh, there comes a time when everything that we will say that is nothing more than casting our pearls before the swine. Oh, then we must discern. Always the time. Suddenly Lot finds himself inside. How did he get inside? Congregation, he wanted to protect these men. But now in that moment, that begins to turn around. And these men, they begin to protect Lot. And now in those moments, Lot begins to find out who that these men are. Then these men reveal to him that they are no ordinary men. but that they are ambassadors of the Lord, that they are ambassadors, that they are messengers from heaven. And those men begin to exercise their heavenly powers that have been given unto them from the Lord, the heavenly powers and that are for the purpose of the protection of His own people, so that they smite the men of the city with blindness. That is a miracle. That is a miracle. It is for the protection of God's church. Those men are able to see. They can see one another. They can see everything. But they cannot discern. They cannot find where that the door is. Hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. Oh, the long-suffering of the Lord is great. The long-suffering of the Lord is indeed very, very long, but it is not forever. The Lord said to Abraham, the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. That was the reason that their punishment was delayed. But that does not mean that there will not come a time when the iniquity of the Amorites would be full. And now Lot is directed to bring out his family. This righteous man has a family. Oh, what a privilege that it is to be related to a righteous man, to a righteous woman. Do you understand that, young people? Those two daughters of Lot, the two sons-in-law of Lot, they receive a privilege, not because of anything that lies within them, and not even because they are God's true children, but because of their relation to the people of the Lord. So they receive what all the men of Sodom did not receive. They receive that by virtue of their connection, the Lord being good unto His own children, even in a natural way, that He would bring out not only Lot, but that He will bring out his wife, that He will bring out His children. Oh, we have a connection, each and every one. Oh, we may be in a church. We may hear that word of God. And we are distinguished from everyone in this world that is about us. Do we understand? Do we feel? Do we appreciate something of that warning that is coming unto us, that is not coming unto the rest of this world? Two sons-in-law, oh, Lot goes to them. Up, he says, the original is very urgent. Up, he says, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this place. If that was said to us tonight, what would we say? We would say that man maybe needs to go to bed. He needs to go back to sleep. There is something wrong in his mind. So we understand those two sons-in-law, don't we? Do we not? Now, is it not true? Is that not what we would say? Those two sons-in-law, they did not do anything that was unnatural. No, they did exactly what was natural. Natural to a fallen human race, to a sinful human race. So that their father-in-law was as one that mocked unto them. Lot has to return. He has to go back without them. They will not hearken. He has no choice. Now he has to focus on himself. He has to look to his own wife. He has to look to his own daughters. And that is what he does. But now what do we read? And while he lingered, Lot lingers. Why does he linger? Is Lot not sure that he is going to leave the city? Does Lot have yet to make a decision? Yes or no? Whether he is going to take heed to the direction of these two men? No. No, congregation, there is no decision that needs to be made by Lot. Lot understands, Lot knows that he has to go out. What then? Does he not appreciate that these two men are sent by the Lord? That they have come to warn him and his family? No, we read that later. He says, "Thou hast shown unto me great mercy." And yet, he lingers. Why? Oh, it is not easy. Lot is a God-fearing man. But Lot also has a flesh. Do you have a flesh? And Lot is also a very rich man. He has much cattle. He has many goods in this world. And he has a wife. And we can read later that that wife, oh, she is so connected unto that city. Oh, he lingers. And while he lingered, no, it was not so easy. Just suddenly to leave everything that he possessed. It was not so easy just in one moment to cut those ties with all the possessions that he had gotten in this world, that he had labored for in this world. And while he lingered, are we ready to leave it all behind? How soon are we ready to leave it all behind? When the Lord would say this night, then you have to flee. and everything has to stay behind. Would you be ready by morning? By the morning light? When the sun arises? And while he lingered, let us sing 253, 6, 7, and 9. That man is blessed, whom thou, O Lord, with chastening hand dost teach thy will. For in the day when sinners fall, that man in peace abideth still. 6, 7, and 9 of Psalter 253. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot. Why? Because he lingered. Man, in his carnality, has little impression of the heavenly realities of the divine being. But those angels, they are living in the presence of a holy and a righteous God. Lot lingered. But those angels knew the danger of lingering. Why? Because they have stood in the presence of the Lord. And the Lord has made known unto those angels that the cup of his wrath is full. Elihu says, my belly is as wine that hath no vent, fermenting wine that is ready to burst those new bottles. We can read of Jeremiah that the Lord says, I am weary of holding in. The Apostle Paul says, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. He will not linger. Then once that he is risen up, then those judgments are going to flow forth. Oh, those angels, they understood so very well the dangers that Lot was bringing himself into by his lingering. And when the morning arose, and then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Oh, those angels urge haste. They have lively impressions of the danger that Lot is in. But Lot continues to linger. Lot looks all around him. Oh, Lot feels the attachment. And Lot cannot let it go. And now finally those angels, they say it is enough. Because when it continues in this way, then Lot will be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And now what is the greatest wonder? That those angels, after they have warned Lot that they didn't just leave, because had they left Lot in his lingering, indeed he would have been destroyed in the iniquity of the city. But that is not what happened. Why not? What do we read? And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and brought him forth and set him without this city. Congregation, what do we say? A lingering Lot and a merciful Lord. What is now the mercy of the Lord unto Lot? Do you know what that mercy was? That the Lord came against him. That the Lord came against all the inclinations of his flesh, that he did not allow him to continue on with his own desires. That was the Lord's mercy unto Lot, the Lord being merciful unto him. Oh, lingering. Lingering is going to be the destruction of so many people in our attachment to all that is carnal, in our love for it, in our cleaving to it, but it will not be the destruction of God's church. Why not? Because they are different? Because Lot was different? Because there was something else that lay in the heart of Lot that did not lie in the heart of others? No. There is only one reason, and that is because the Lord will not suffer it. The Lord, being merciful unto him, and while he lingered, that is the work of Lot, the men laid hold upon his hand, that is the work of the Lord. You see it, little young people. Why do we say it? That we need a one-sided work of God. Do you see it a little? Oh, there is nothing in a man that goes out after the Lord. We know Lot was a righteous man. Lot was a man of God. But when we speak about a man in his natural state, then there is nothing. When the Lord will be merciful unto us, the Lord needs to come against us. It's necessary that the Lord becomes too strong for us. That is our only hope. Oh, do you feel a little something of our own wretchedness, of our own misery? The misery of man, what kind of misery is it? It is a willful misery. It is a heart that is loving vanity. It is a heart that is carnal. It is a sinful disposition. It is a fallen sinner. It is one who has no ability. He has no will. He has no desire. Despite all the thinking of a man in this world, oh, what do we have to pray the Lord? Lord, become too strong for me. Oh, let me not perish by carrying out the iniquity and the wretchedness that is living deep down in my heart. We need to be saved from sin. We need to be saved from ourselves. Because if the Lord does not cut us off from our idols, we will not leave them, but we will linger until it is too late. The Lord, being merciful unto him, is the Lord also merciful unto you? How must we judge that? If the Lord is merciful unto us, we say maybe, well, if the Lord gives us prosperity, if he gives us rain, if he gives us riches, if he gives us ease, if he gives us blessings, indeed, They are all from the Lord. And not one of them is to be despised. But that is not how that we may judge the mercy of the Lord unto our soul. For whom is mercy? It is for the miserable. And now tell me something. Whether all that we have in this world makes a man one whit less miserable, all the rich, all they will tell you, and you can see it also, that it does not take care of the misery of a man. But congregation, does the Lord cut us off from our idols, which our flesh cannot, will not forsake? That is mercy. May you ever testify of this mercy. Do you know what David said? He said, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, for therein I have learned the statutes of the Lord." Oh, may you ever testify of the goodness of the Lord, that He has not given you your heart's desire. The Lord, being merciful unto him. This past week, we have had a teachers' conference. 200 people, teachers, administrators, consistory members, school board members, SEC members, United States and Canada, our denomination, some also from the Netherlands. And it was good to be together. But there were also things that may be heard, that may awaken in us what needs to be awakened. Because congregation, that we have heard of things, how far that it is going, how far in international law, in the United Nations, how that these sins of our time, they are being protected. They are being enshrined in law. And that we may not call them sin. Our children, according to the world in which we live, need to be re-educated. They need to be taken away from father and from mother. The state knows it best, and the devil is powerful. We are talking about the United Nations. We are talking about the laws that are being passed at the highest levels. O congregation, what is coming? What is coming? What is coming for you, young people? What is coming for you, children? We always say, we will not lay the burdens of a father and a mother upon those little children, because when they grow up, then they will have sufficient burden to carry. But children and young people, oh, there were times in the history of the church that also there was persecution. And then it did not wait until those boys and girls became a man or a woman. No, it has taken place when they were still little children. all what is now coming. It is not difficult, congregation, to foresee that a very, very difficult time is coming for the true church of God. Because it is not only the Word of God, but it is now also reason. All we have heard it several times in this past week. Reason, it doesn't matter anymore. Doesn't matter anymore. This is the way it is. And this is simply what we have to accept. And if we will not accept it, then what? Oh, how will it be for us? Do you see that house? Do you see that land, congregation? Are we ready? Because it is not difficult to see. We do not need to be a prophet and to prophesy, no. All we need to do is open our eyes. And we have known in the years gone by what that is to come so close. So close. And the Lord has given now us a little reprieve. But it is not likely to last very long. More and more, it appears that the Lord, He is leaving man over to himself. And this world that has now become a very small place, the Lord allows the world to reach the epitome of sin. The Lord allows the world to make itself ripe for His judgments. Oh, then it is good that we can testify in this world. Will we be faithful? But then we also need to discern, because the time, it looks like, is soon coming, that to warn anymore and to testify anymore will be nothing but casting our pearls before the swine. O congregation, with Lot we are full of riches. We are full of goods. The Lord has blessed us. But that time, it could be, is very soon going to be over. Lot did not expect it. The Lord came very suddenly in one night to his sons-in-law. He was like one that mocked. Will that be us also? When we can look all around us, and when we can see, and when we can hear how clear that the signs are of the time that is coming. The Lord said, how is it that you can discern the skies, but you cannot discern the signs of the times? Oh, count it a mercy. Count it a great mercy if the Lord takes away our idols by afflictions, by trials. Ask the Lord, O Lord, become too strong for me, because I also, will I be faithful in that day? when I have to make a trade between testifying the truth, testifying against wickedness, and giving up all the treasures that I have to have it all taken away from us? What will we choose? Or how will we linger? Then we need that the Lord becomes too strong, and that the Lord, He will take us by the hand, and that He Himself will lead us out and set us outside of that city, that we do not perish in the iniquity of the city. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou bless thy word, and wilt thou spare us yet, if it could please thee, with our dear children, from the dark storm and that we see so quickly approaching us, with all of its devastation upon thy church in an outward way. But thy own people, thy lots, though they live in the midst of this world, though they have so many shortcomings, yet thou wilt care for them. Oh, that thou may give young and old to be warned, and that we may be prepared for these times which thy word speaks about at the end of this world, and that we see is so clearly coming upon us so quickly. Oh, that thou mayst make us faithful, that thou wouldest keep us from the evil, and that thou wouldest unite us unto thyself, dismiss us with an undeserved blessing, help each one in the week to come, give us meditation upon thy word of truth, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 255 stanzas 2 and 4. For how great a God and glorious is Jehovah, whom we sing over idol gods victorious. Great is He, our God and King. 2 and 4 of 255. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.